It's commonly said that the best way to appreciate poetry is to hear it read aloud, but that certainly isn't true of this.
Imcat mobile. Fall, leaps, float, tumblish, drift, whirl fully.
A poem by the American writer E. E. Cummings, who, breaking one of the first rules that all school children learn, never used capital letters for either his initials or his surname. But big first letters were not the only grammatical convention that Cummings regarded as a capital offence. The poem you just heard sounded relatively conventional on radio. This is how you'd have to read it if dictating to a typist or printer.
Open bracket lowercase im, close bracket, c-a-t, open bracket, m-o, close bracket, b, comma, I, semicolon, l, colon, e, new paragraph, capital F, lowercase a, triple l-e, capital A, p-s, exclamation mark, lowercase f-l, capital O, a-t-t-u-m-b-l, capital I, s-h, question mark, d-r, capital I, f-t-w-h-i-r-l, capital F, open bracket, capital U, l, close bracket, open bracket, L, capital Y, close bracket, ampersand, ampersand, ampersand.
The Cummings poem read to convey look as well as sound. The publication of a new biography of that anti-grammatical poet, who lived from 1894 to 1962, encouraged us to look back at the poets who have played games on the page with typography and punctuation.
I think, to be fair to Cummings, the style, the peculiarities of the presentation of the poems is also, I think, a proper representation of his personality. Basically, what he wanted people to do, I think, was to be struck by his poems as not looking like the kind of poems you're going to see every time you open the pages of a magazine. So it was an attempt, I think, not just to get rid of punctuation, but to present punctuation as a stylistic device of appearance rather than a stylistic device of sound or meaning.
Swim so now, million many worlds, in each least less than particle of perfect dark.
They dispense of capital letters, they dispense often of regular punctuation, but there was always some kind of punctuation. I mean, after Lord Byron, who was supposed to be a regular poet, punctuated all the time with dashes because he was too idle to put in the proper punctuation. And I think, in fact, you could pretty well say that the same thing is true of Cummings.
The allegation that unconventional punctuation in poetry usually represents laziness rather than inspiration is satirised in Wendy Cope's poem about an American writer who liked to let her verse get out of line.
Higgledy Piggledy Emily Dickinson liked to use dashes instead of full stops. Nowadays, faced with such idiosyncrasy, critics and editors send for the cops.
Dickinson's main punctuation device was the dash. But, says the poet and critic Tom Paulin, this was not because she was dashing off her thoughts.
What you get in Dickinson is extraordinary Puritan vernacular speaking voice, great intensity. And I think for her, punctuation was a symbol of a kind of patriarchal culture which she spent her life resisting.
For a long, long time, it was common for publishers and editors to punctuate conventionally.
That's true. I mean, there was the big Johnson edition in 1955, which went back to the manuscripts and stripped away all the punctuation that had been imposed on her poems. The same thing happened to John Clare, and then over the last 20, 30 years, all his poems have been published in a huge Oxford edition as they were in manuscript. He hated punctuation. He said it was like tyranny in government.
Punctuation is one way of shaping a poem so that it interests the eye as well as the ear. But the so-called concrete poets went far beyond free grammar and used the shape of a verse to create what were literally word pictures. The poet Ian McMillan.
The Dadaists, I believe, were big on concrete poetry, so you could have the word bird and the word would fly up the page, so it would be the shape of a bird.
If you go back as far as George Herbert in the 17th century, he deliberately wrote poems where there was a witty metaphorical concept. If he wrote a poem about Easter wings, then his poems would have extensions like wings.
When I was first reading poetry, I picked up this anthology from a press called Second Eon Press, and it was called Typewriter Poems. And they were poems created on a typewriter. And the main man in typewriter poetry, it seemed to me, was a fellow that I thought was called Dish, because he always signed himself D-S-H, Dish, and he was actually a monk from Prinash Abbey called Dom Sylvester Houdard. And his things were amazing, because what he mainly made these poems out of was the dashes and the slashes, and so it became a visual event. And you sit looking at this thing thinking, I'm astonishingly excited by this, but what is it? How do I read it?
From E. Cummings to The Concrete Poet, these experiments in presentation reflect the view that people who are writing a book should remember that it's also possible to write a look.